Today's scripture reading is from Mark chapter 12, which begins on the bottom of page 1575 in your pew Bible. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions.
Thank you, Phyllis. Well, love is the answer. This is Anne's sermon title, and I kept it because this is what the lectionary says we're supposed to preach on today. And it's really funny how the lectionary works. They prepare it well in advance, years and years in advance. And for some reason, somehow, the passages that come up tend to really fit what we need to talk about as a church, as a culture, as a people of God. Next slide, please. 7,615. That's an interesting number. Anybody want to venture a guess what that is? It's actually from a government's website that tracks hate crimes. That's the number of reported hate crimes in the United States last year. Now, when I say reported, that means that these are the ones that somebody actually took the time to report and that people in law enforcement categorized as a hate crime. Many of us are still wondering how 11 people lost their lives in Pittsburgh just for being Jewish, just for worshiping in a synagogue, or how people across the nation end up being killed because of their race or their ethnicity or their culture, the way they speak, who they worship, who they are. This is the definition of a hate crime: if it's perpetrated against somebody because of who they are, that's what defines it. And we have to ask ourselves, what is with all this hate? And how do we combat hate? Next slide, please. First, we have to understand humanity's understanding of the love-hate continuum. This is from a book by Gaylord Innes. It's called The Greatest Commandment, and he talks about humanity's picture of love and hate. The love continuum is on your left. The hate continuum is on the right. And if you look at that bottom line, there's concern for people, which goes towards love. And there's indifference for people, which heads towards hate. And humanity, our hope and our desire is that there's this big squishy middle that we can live in. That we don't have to be committed to one side or the other. We can love some people and not love others. We can hang out with some people and not hang out with others. We want this big squishy middle that we can reside in, that we can live in, that we can be us in. Next slide. I want you to turn with me. Please get your Bibles out, because if you don't actually read this, you might miss something. I'm going to read it to you, but I want you to read along. We're going to look at 1 John 4, 7 through 20, and that's on 1902 in your pew Bibles. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. Whoever does not love does not know God. That kind of just sets on you for a second and you go, I think I know God. I think I know what God's about. I think I know my relationship with God. But John's going to blow our minds here in a minute. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And when we talk about living through Christ, that literally is walking through the torn veil. That's literally taking that path that Christ opened up for us to salvation. It's literally to making the choice to go from being unholy into a place where we can actually exist in the same place as the Holy God. Not because of anything we did, but because of what Christ did. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. John goes on. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Andrew did a great job with the pictogram up there of the spoked wheel. I love the idea that when we get closer to God, we also get closer to each other. That's important. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This word complete or perfect or finished has come up in a lot of my sermons recently. And I know that's because the lectionary has said to use it, right? But remember, that's the word telestai in the Greek, and it is to finish, to be complete, to be perfect, to make perfect. And in some translations it says to be perfected in us, which means it's an ongoing thing. We don't start out with perfect love in us. It has to come from God. It's a process. It's a process that we enter into as our relationship with God gets stronger. As we go down the spoke from the outside wheel towards the center, which is God, we get closer to God and to each other. We know that we live in him and he in us because he's given us the Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. In many translations, that living in is the word is used as abide. We abide in God, God abides in us. When Jesus came to earth, it said he made his abode with us. He literally pitched his tent among us. So God is not just a visitor in your heart. God's moving in. He needs a drawer in the dresser. He's not just a house guest. When God abides in you and you abide in God, you come down that spoke closer and closer to the center. I'm going to skip down a little bit to 16. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. There's that complete, that perfect again. So we'll have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love. This is important. In the Andy Stanley series that we're doing on Wednesday nights with Rebecca, Andy makes it clear that the end game of following Jesus is not to be a better person. That's a side effect. It's not to be a better husband, wife, father, mother, worker, teacher. Those are side effects of following Jesus. Jesus tells the disciples in Mark, and I think I said this a couple weeks ago, that the end game literally is when you're arrested, when you're flogged, when you're drugged in front of governors and kings, do not fear. Because the words that you're going to respond with are not your words, they're words from God. Jesus is telling his disciples that the end game is not having fear. But why is this? Because we have an eternal soul. Every one of us in the world that God created has an eternal soul. Where you're going to live out that eternity is completely up to the decisions that we make. But we all have an eternal soul. And the reason we don't have to fear, and this is the counseling that I gave to Anne last week, the reason we don't have to fear is because nothing in this world can injure, kill, destroy your eternal soul. Your soul is you and God and that relationship. Everything else on this planet that is fear-based is fear-based because we have a survival instinct. We want to live. We want to go on. We don't like pain. We don't like suffering. It's all very temporal, though. In the first press article that I did this week, that you saw, if you read it, I give this example of a Francis Chan sermon where he took a 200-foot length of rope and he put a 2-inch piece of tape on one end and said, this 2-inch piece of tape represents our time on earth. And then he had somebody walk the rope out the building to where no one could see the end. And he said, the rest of that rope is eternity. Why are we so focused on the 2 inches instead of the 199 feet, 10 inches of eternity? Because we have fear. We're fear-based a lot of times. Next slide, please. And this is why. If you continue that continuum down the road, on the love side, there's concern, then there's a couple arrows which represent every other step in between giving up your life for others. That's what Christ did. And I got news for you guys. We're called to give up our lives for each other too. Maybe not literally, but maybe. More likely, it's going to be something like giving into others and preferencing others over ourselves. On the hate side of the continuum, it starts at indifference, where I just don't think about somebody in Tasmania. It's not that I hate them, I just don't think about them. I'm indifferent to their position in life because I don't see them. I don't deal with them. But you see where the indifference leads to. Murder. Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, if you remember, you've heard it said, do not kill, do not murder. But I tell you, if you have hate in your heart, you've already committed murder. Christ narrowed that scope as he does. He takes the offense and brings it in. You know, we like to push the boundaries, and Christ just kind of narrows the target for us. There's no separation. You see a little line there, but that line represents there's no separation between our concern and our indifference. There is no squishy middle, according to John. Which kind of makes me upset, because I like the squishy middle, personally. I like living in the squishy middle sometimes. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Okay, that's hard because we all have fears. I don't like heights. I'm not very fond of spiders. But these fears are based in what? Self-preservation. They're based in my idea of, I don't want to die. Here's a fact that it's hard for people to accept. Death is not the worst thing to God. God's eternal. And He knows that we are too. And that if we have stepped through that threshold, if we've made that step towards salvation, then our eternity is set with God. God is in us. God abides in us. We abide in Him. It's in the book. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. What? Come again, John? If I say I love God, but I hate somebody else, I'm lying? Because I can't love God. It says, for anyone who does not love his brother, who he can see, I can see Annabelle. I love Annabelle. But, you know, I don't love Jonathan. But I love God. I'm a liar. Because I can't love God if I hate Jonathan. If I have indifference. Look at the picture. If we have indifference to people in this world because of their social economic status, their color, their language, where they're from, how they worship. If we have these indifferences towards those people, it's not that we hate them right now. We just don't want to be around them because they're not like us. That indifference, folks, can lead to a dangerous, slippery slope. Ask the guy that pulled the trigger in Pittsburgh. Or the guy that killed the two ladies in the yoga studio in Florida. He was a misogynist. He hated women. Hate is not God's favorite thing on the planet. I'm telling you. God wants love. God, whom He has not seen, and He has given us this commandment. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. So, we're called to love each other. Mic drop. We're called to love each other. We're called to what? Love each other. Now, James tells us we can't be hearers of the word. We got to be doers of the word. So how do we translate what we just read into being doers? Next slide. You should have a handout in your bulletin. It's the anthem that Andrew sang. You've heard the flock sing it before. It's a song called It All Begins With Love. If you turn over on the back, you'll see a whole bunch of scripture references. I may have put the words together for the song, but they came from scripture. I stole without any kind of, you know, embarrassment from God, because that's okay. He wants us to talk about His word. All I did was take scripture and put it into a format that made sense in a song. So if you want to know how to put these things into practice, if you want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word, let's look at the scripture references on the back. Love one another. Easier said than done. But that's what you need to do to be a doer of the word. Serve one another. That's in Galatians, Philippians, Peter. Accept one another. Strengthen one another. Help one another. Encourage one another. When you have a brother or sister that is failing in faith, encourage them. If you have a brother or sister who is having difficulty in life, affirm them. Let them know that they are a child of God too. Does anybody remember the James passage I preached on where James called us God's first fruit? Everybody in here, if you're here, raise your hand. Some people didn't raise their hand, I'm worried. If your hand went up, you are God's first fruit. That means you are special to God. And we should tell each other that. We should affirm each other. We should tell each other, you, Jeff, thank you for coming today. You are God's child. Eric, good to see you, brother. You're God's child. We should all encourage one another, affirm each other. Let each other know, Ralph, you're God's child. That makes you important, not only to me and to the other people in our family here, but to God, which is more important. I want you to take this handout. I'm not going to preach through the whole thing because it would get really repetitious and boring. Because there's like a whole bunch of one another statements in Scripture. You can see them all here. The song was based on those one another's that Andrew sang. Take this home with you. Put it on your refrigerator. Don't put my words on the refrigerator. Put the Scriptures on the refrigerator. Because they're the ones that count. Right? Submit to one another. Commit to each other. Build trust for one another. Be devoted to each other. Be patient with each other. Break out your thesaurus if you need to and see what some of these words really mean. Because there's a lot deeper context to some of these words than just appear on paper. So I'm going to do something that I hated when I was a kid. I'm going to give you homework. I hated homework. Cut into my playtime with my wheels and spokes. When Andrew was talking about the wheel and the spokes, all I could think of was putting a playing card into the spokes and going, right? Who did that as a kid, you know? Do homework. Take these one another's. You don't have to look up each scripture reference in your Bible. They're here. They're trustworthy. You can look at them if you want. Look them up. They may be a little different in whatever version you're looking in. But really, look at the definitions of some of these words. When you look at the word strengthen one another, go into the thesaurus and look up what strengthen really means in different contexts. Because it's very broad. And we have a responsibility to each other. To be devoted to each other, as it says in Scripture. And to love one another. But remember, this love comes from who? God. First verse. Above all else, there is love. From the God of all creation, there is love. There is love from God. That's the only way that we can erase hate, combat hate, because the answer really is love. Amen?